Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Your loquacious companion back with you here, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Goodyear Hotline, they will include or have included already Mike Tannenbaum. We talked a lot about the Aaron Rodgers situation. Again, if you haven't been anywhere near any sort of media this morning, Aaron Rodgers just strolled into Green Bay Packers camp this morning. He just walked into the building wearing a pair of flip-flops, his hair in a ponytail, and a T-shirt depicting Kevin from The Office spilling chili. I've never seen a more relaxed-looking person in my entire life. And he just kind of walked in there as the eye of a hurricane, and we'll see. Does this mean everything is done now? Does it mean he's got the deal? Does it mean he's got the concessions that he wanted? It sounds that way, but we don't have the details yet. Obviously, as soon as we do, we will be all over that for you. It's a crazy story, and it looks like it is coming to an extremely positive conclusion for the Green Bay Packers and for their fans, and I guess by extension for fans of football everywhere, because a season without Aaron Rodgers just wouldn't have been as good. No one is better when great players don't play sports. So, I mean, on that level, I'm delighted that he's in there, and we'll see where it winds up going. We also have the breaking news, and you heard it in the Sports Center there with Christine, that Texas and Oklahoma have officially informed the SEC that they want to join that conference. That's a formality. The SEC would take them tomorrow if they could. It's just a question of how quickly they'll be able to extricate themselves from the Big 12 and get themselves into the SEC. And then the questions start to become, now what happens? Because you're going to have a jailbreak, or the opposite of, well, you're going to have both. You're going to have just the territorialism of all of this is going to become astonishing. Where does it all wind up going? We don't know the answers to that either. But I think that the ultimate answer of this will be the Big 12 will cease to exist. I think in 3 years, and who knows, maybe sooner, the Big 12 will cease to exist, which I certainly am not happy to say, but it feels obvious. And then what winds up happening? The SEC is a super conference. I mean, just looking at the football piece of it, you've got Alabama, you've got Georgia, you've got Florida, you've got Texas, you've got Oklahoma. I mean, you've got just traditional superpowers everywhere you look. And then, you know, what does the ACC do? Do they try like crazy to get Notre Dame in there? Does the Big Ten start poaching teams from the Pac-12? I'm reading a lot about that possibility, that USC and Stanford and others could wind up in the Big Ten. So any number of things are about to happen. I'm not here to tell you whether they're good or bad. This is just the reality. These are professional sports. These have long been professional sports played by amateur athletes. They are now professional sports played by professional athletes. And I, for one, feel a lot better being able to talk about this knowing that.
As a lifelong Big Ten guy, which you are, would it bother you to see Northwestern play USC in a Week 5 regular season conference game?
No, because that's just going to be the reality of it. I mean, you know, I've always considered Northwestern and Stanford to be rivals. Like, I consider North on some level. Mm-hmm. Like, look, we're in the Big Ten, and that is, those are our sports rivalries. But as a university, all the other schools in the Big Ten are huge public state institutions. And, you know, we're not. We're a comparatively much smaller private academically elite school. And so I've always considered our rivals to be Duke, Vanderbilt, Stanford, Notre Dame, schools like that. So I'm all for that. I'm all for playing them, Stanford, as much as we can.
But a lot of these conference affiliations were originally made when travel was much less easy.
Right.
And when the writers decided the national champions by themselves. Right.
Which is why now this is all going to, it's going to change where the geographic piece of this is going to be meaningless. That's exactly right. They just might have to change the names. Right? I mean, can you be the SEC if Texas is in it? I mean, Texas is not in the East. There are parts of Texas that are closer to California than they are to the Pacific Ocean.
That's true. And I think what you'll see programs across the country do is have their football conference and then their conference for all their other sports.
That's
and
possible.
That's what this will become.
But the brand names are so valuable. I mean, SEC is such a valuable brand name. Big Ten is such a valuable brand name. I don't think they'll change the names. They'll just live with the dichotomy. I mean, the Big Ten has 14 teams in it now, so obviously we're not that worried about that. Anyway, we'll continue with some other stuff. I want to get should I get the green list in here, or should we go back to the two words?
We need to revisit the two words fiasco.
Okay, then we'll revisit. It's not a fiasco. What is the matter with you? It is unquestionably not a fiasco.
I need you to listen carefully.
I just want you to know.
So if you're just joining me here, let me recount where we've been. All right, this is the territory that we have covered. So I went to look up the quotes, the tweets from the president of Oklahoma State University, because I had been told that she was on a little bit of a Twitter rampage yesterday, being angry at Oklahoma and trying to assure her constituency that everything would be fine at their school. And I did. And her tweets are very interesting. And I think they seem like totally appropriate things for the president of a university to be saying. But I was mostly fascinated by her Twitter bio, in which the first two words, she describes herself as a visionary leader. That's a pretty cool way to describe yourself. Like, I'm all in. And so I started thinking, if I were to come up with two words to describe myself, what would they be? And the two words I chose were loquacious companion. That's how I see myself. I am your loquacious companion. I talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, hence loquacious. And I've just been around. I've been a part of your life if you're a sports fan for so long that I think it's now just, we just have a relationship. I'm just your companion. We just know each other. Again, when people see me in the street, sometimes they'll take a picture or something, but mostly it's just a lot of, hey, Greeny, what's up? Like they just saw me earlier today.
Like they know you.
Because they did. Yes, everyone knows me. They walk up to my wife. Hey, Stace, how are you? My kids, they know him because we've been together so long. I started doing Mike and Mike on January 3rd of 2000. We've been together every day since. And so I feel like I'm your companion now. We hang out together. I talk, you listen, but for the most part, we hang out. And I'm very proud of that. I like loquacious companion. I mean it as the great thrill of my life. So what, I'm looking at you, Hembo, what issue do you have with loquacious companion?
Loquacious is too complicated a word. If you only get two words to decide how to describe yourself.
What is complicated about loquacious? What is the matter with you? You're an intelligent, educated man.
I'm intelligent and I'm educated, but I, again, did not get a perfect score on my SAT. That's a tough word.
You had to look up loquacious?
I had to look up loquacious.
I'm not asking you to spell it.
Well,
I'm
you
asking
spelled you, it wrong in the Google Doc.
Prior to today, if I had said to you, do you know what the word loquacious means? You would have known the answer.
It would have taken me a while to get there.
No, it would not have. So do you have two words? I said to you, give two words. Do you have two words for yourself, for me, or anybody else?
I would describe you similarly to how you described yourself. I would describe you as an omnipresent figure. You're just like again, always there, but both in my life and then obviously in the lives of all of our listeners and viewers. For myself, I just went with old soul because, like you've said so many times, I'm 70, trapped in the body of a 30-year-old, and I actually have tickets for right after the show. I'm going down to Brooklyn. We have a doubleheader at Ebbets Field, and I cannot wait to get there to watch the Dodgers play two games today. So that's what I'm doing after the
Correct.
Show.
Correct. You are actually, you live so far in the past. My understanding is the latest you could possibly die is 1987. So old soul, I'm good with that. Nuno, do you have two words to describe either yourself or me?
I do not. A, because I like my job, and B, no.
Okay, fair enough.
Greeny, I got one.
Okay. Oh, now see, now oh, here's no. where things just get worse.
Uh-huh.
I got two words for you, Devin.
Okay. Let's hear them.
All right, go ahead. What are these going to be words to describe yourself or to describe me?
No, this is for you.
Okay, what are the two words you would use to describe me?
Duel, D-U-E-L, host.
D-U-E-L, dual host. I see, because I hosted a game show called Duel once.
Yeah.
All right, I got two words. Never again. Never again.
Devin thinks he's so
never
clever.
Never again from Devin. No. For those of you who don't know, I hosted a game show on the network called Duels on ABC. Someone jokingly wrote the reason it was called Duels because the only two people in America who watched it shot each other. We did not have great ratings, but I loved that show. I loved doing it. I had a great time. You know, I've used that as an example, by the way, to young people, if I could. If you are a young person and you are listening to me, I've used it as a great description of my advice to you in life, and that is to try something that's outside your comfort zone. They offered me the opportunity to do the show. I did it. I loved it. It didn't have great ratings. Some people took shots at me for it. Okay. I look back on it in every way positively. I remember the fun that I had. I delighted in the experience. I met new people. It was a great thing to do. It would have been wonderful, obviously, if it had turned into a huge success and all of that. It didn't. Everything won't. But, or not everything will, I guess, is a better way to put that. But I'm thrilled I did it. I loved it. And that is my advice to anyone within the sound of my voice. Take it from your loquacious companion. If you are a young person listening to me right now, try something outside your comfort zone. And if it isn't a home run, maybe it'll be a single and you'll move on to the next thing. But never, ever just don't try something because you think, well, I'm not 100% sure it'll work. No one's ever 100% sure of anything. This is Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at progressivecommercial.com. Coming up next, today's Green List, the top five stories you need to be thinking about as NFL training camps begin. That's next, says Greeny on ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, the podcast.
This is Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. My guests on the Goodyear Hotline, and this reminder that hiring can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack, but when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, their matching technology finds these qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply, and right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. All right, next.
The list is what determines who matters in this business.
The Green List.
All right, it has been too long since we've done a Green List. Again, my top five voted on exclusively by me, your loquacious companion. And today's list, with what appears to be resolution to the Aaron Rodgers story, what are the top five things you need to be thinking about as it pertains to quarterbacks with training camps getting underway? What are the top five quarterback stories in the NFL with training camps getting underway? Here we go.
Number five.
Number five is, does someone trade for Deshaun Watson? Now, this is such a complicated story. I'm generally speaking uncomfortable even talking about it in a football context because the things of which he has been accused by now 22 different women are very serious and obviously much more important than anything that happens on a football field. But I think right now on a sports show, it cannot be ignored because there is too much reason to believe that a trade could be happening any day now. A member of his inner circle, his private quarterback coach, told Shefty on Shefty's podcast he expects it to happen any day. So is Deshaun Watson traded? And if so, where? Philadelphia seems to be the likeliest place, but at this point we don't know. So that clearly is one of the five big stories. I put it there as far as what's going to wind up happening here. Does someone trade for Deshaun Watson without resolution to the legal situation and the league adjudication of it? We'll wait and see. That's number five.
Number four.
Number four, you have two rookie quarterbacks who are being handed starting jobs, and they are Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville and Zach Wilson with the Jets. How do they look? Those are the rookies who are not in quarterback competitions. I don't care what Gardner Minshew thinks. Trevor Lawrence is going to be the starting quarterback in Jacksonville, and Zach Wilson is going to be the starting quarterback of the Jets. They need to get him in camp, for crying out loud. I don't know why in the world, in a world in which the picks are slotted, the Jets have a holdup with getting Zach Wilson signed, but I have confidence that they will as soon as today. So that those are the next questions. You'll start hearing word coming out of those camps. Expect those words to be extremely positive. Nothing but bouquets being thrown in their direction. I can't remember the last time any of these quarterbacks started and the coaches said, you know, he's really struggling right now. I think it's possible we made a huge mistake. So you can expect from the coaches the official word to be that both those guys look incredibly comfortable. I can't believe how quickly they've mastered the playbook. I can't believe the leadership role they've taken with their teammates and everything else. But you'll also start hearing the things from the people who are covering the team. Just how well do these guys perform in practices? How comfortable do they look? What are we seeing in the drills? What will we be seeing once we start getting to preseason games? So those obviously are important stories. They will not determine who the starters are. Lawrence and Wilson will start week one, assuming they're healthy, without question. But those feel like number four on the list of most important stories.
Number three.
Three, then we get to the next two rookies. And those are the next two that I find really fascinating. You've got two playoff-caliber teams in San Francisco and Chicago whose coaches are both saying, well, I'm sticking with my veteran. They're saying in San Francisco, they're sticking with Jimmy G. They're saying in Chicago, we're sticking with Andy Dalton. That they're going to go the Patrick Mahomes route. They're going to wait to put these guys on the field. Do they really wind up doing that? I think Justin Fields will outplay Andy Dalton in training camp. I just think that if you look at his limitless talent, I think it'll be very tempting for Matt Nagy and everybody in Chicago to put Justin Fields on the field. Now, I, for one, have zero issue with them sticking to their guns if they think that it is in the best long-term interest of the player and thus the best long-term interest of the franchise to let Fields sit and wait and watch. We'll see. But I commend Andy Dalton on what has been a terrific career, but Andy Dalton is not a quarterback that I think takes the Bears over the top, takes them to the next level, and Justin Fields might be. San Francisco's a different situation because for however unspectacular we always try and make Jimmy G seem, the reality is there is one constant. When he plays, they win, and when he doesn't, they lose. Those are just the facts. I didn't ask you to do this, but can you get me his numbers as a starting quarterback?
He started 30 games for the 49ers. They've won 22 of them, plus two playoff games.
All right, so there you go.
22-8.
So they're 22-8 in the regular season and 2-1 in the playoffs?
That's right.
So people always remember the bad pass he throws in the Super Bowl that winds up hurting his team badly 2 years ago. But the reality is that that's 24-9 as the starting quarterback in meaningful games in San Francisco. So you can't just discount that. He's doing something right. So I'll be very interested to see, does Trey Lance supplant him? Again, Trey Lance is clearly the future at quarterback in San Francisco, but does that future come before or after the end of this season? Does it come before or after a deep playoff run? That's a team that could do it if Garoppolo stays healthy. So that to me is a fascinating one to watch. That's number three on the list of most interesting storylines as we head into training camp.
Number two.
At number two will be, do any of the three quarterbacks from the quarterback draft of 2018 get contracts? Does Josh Allen sign a long-term deal in Buffalo? Does Lamar Jackson sign a long-term deal in Baltimore? Does Baker Mayfield sign a long-term deal in Cleveland? Obviously, it isn't going to happen with Sam Darnold in Carolina. They've already picked up his fifth-year option, so he has a couple more years to prove himself there in Carolina. And if you know me, you know I'll be rooting for him. But no one in their right mind would say they should sign him now to a huge monster contract. But Josh Allen, they probably should. Lamar Jackson, they probably should. Baker Mayfield, that's a fascinating one to me. So do those quarterbacks get long-term commitments and long-term monster money contracts from their franchises? If those are going to happen, they're going to happen real soon. So those are number two on the list of storylines to watch.
Number one.
But number one, to me, is you have two players who were the first pick in their respective drafts whose careers are on the line. Jameis Winston and Cam Newton. Both of them are in training camps, and both of them will have every opportunity to be the starter. All other things being equal, they will be the starting quarterbacks for their teams. Cam, with a team that's thinking about winning in New England, and Jameis, with a team that's thinking about winning in New Orleans. If Cam gets beaten out by Mac Jones, that's it. I believe that would be it for Cam Newton. I think he would then be looking at a career of being a backup for the rest of his career. And that would really be something for a 32-year-old player who was the number one pick in the draft, but not as much as it would be for Jameis. who was the number one pick in the draft 6 years ago. And with all due respect to Taysom Hill, if he can't beat out Taysom Hill, if he can't demonstrate that the ceiling is just markedly higher with him at quarterback in New Orleans, that they have their best chance of winning big this year, which they are thinking about, if he can't prove he's better suited for that than Taysom Hill, then he is staring at being a backup quarterback for the rest of his career, 6 years after being the first pick in the draft. That would be remarkable. So to me, those are the top five stories, the five big stories heading into these training camps as far as what are going to be happening with these quarterbacks now that the Aaron Rodgers situation seems to be behind us. So I have done as much talking as I need to do for today. It is time now for you. The question is going to be, what's on your mind? And the way you can let us know what's on your mind is by calling us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What's on your mind? We will take your calls with your questions right after this word from SelectQuote. You know, before last year, some things were low on our to-do list, but life insurance can no longer be one of those things, especially now. Your family is your number one priority. And if you're like me with a wife and kids, you need to protect them. And you don't want just anyone to use for this. You need a pro. That is why you need SelectQuote. SelectQuote has been around for 35 years. Over 2 million families trust them. SelectQuote comparison shops highly rated insurance companies like Prudential, Banner Life, Mutual of Omaha, and others to impartially find you the company with the best rates. They have technology to quickly match your individual needs with the best insurance company to find your best policy. They do the bulk of the work for you, so there's no excuse to wait on protecting your family's future. You'll be surprised how affordable a policy can be, and quotes are free. So there's no reason to put this off another day. Get your free quote today at 1-800-881-6868. That's 800-881-6868, or go to selectquote.com. That's selectquote.com. Back in a flash on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you here, coming to you live as always from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We're brought to you by Chase and by Samsung Galaxy. Reddit user Ja1073 says, you got to look yourself in the mirror and ask, am I ready for this life? You won't be able to go back to mediocre after this. Are you ready for this life? Find out at Samsung.com/reserve. Right before we get to the phones here and find out what's on your mind, bunch of stuff happening today. Let me just run through the headlines. At the top of the list for those of us who cover the sport, Aaron Rodgers showed up at camp today. Aaron Rodgers, they have a team meeting in the early afternoon Central Time in Green Bay, and I think the expectation now is that Rodgers is going to be there. He will miss nothing. I mean, he missed mandatory mini camp, which is the same thing as missing nothing if you've been there for 16 years. So as it all turns out, from a football standpoint, Aaron Rodgers will miss nothing. Exactly what he gets in concessions from the team is not yet clear, and I, for one, will be fascinated to see what happens because the devil's in the details. The other stories today, we've got the Texas and Oklahoma have officially requested entrance into the SEC. That came in the form of announcement from the SEC and its commissioner, Greg Sankey. So that's a foregone conclusion. It's just a formality. Clearly, the SEC wants those two brands. And so the question is, what does it mean? How quickly does it happen? Does it mean the dissolution of the Big 12? It probably does. And on it goes from there. And then finally, and I'll just spend a second on this, and then we'll come to the calls. I just watched a little video of Simone Biles, American gymnastics superstar. You want to make an argument that she's the most spectacular athlete to watch in the world today, you would get no fight from me. And I don't consider myself to be an expert in gymnastics, but you watch her perform and she's, I mean, it boggles the mind. I don't have, no matter how loquacious I consider myself, I do not have the adjectives to describe how brilliant an athlete she is. But she did not compete in the team event today, an event in which the U.S. women took silver and had otherwise been heavily favored to win the gold. And she described it as not having been the result of an injury. She described it as having been the result of all of the stress that she is feeling. And she talked at some length about how difficult this process has been, how difficult it is in Tokyo. Remember, they're over there right now in these incredible circumstances. I mean, in Tokyo right now, they have record numbers of COVID cases being reported every single day outside of the Olympics, and they're trying to keep the Olympics completely separate from all of that, so there are no fans. They're in the equivalent of the NBA's bubble of a year ago. And she, it was just, if you listen to her talk, it's tough to listen to. I don't know Simone personally, but I, like everyone else, I admire the heck out of her as an athlete. And to hear her talking about just how much stress she is feeling was a little painful to listen to. So that's something, if you get the chance later today, you know, you might want to hear how she said that and how she described it and how important it is, I think, that we describe what the American women did today as winning silver and not as losing the gold. I've seen a good deal of that being discussed online, that for us to say to these women, you guys lost because the expectation was they would win the gold, when indeed what they actually did was win silver medals. You know, that's the way the Olympics work, and that sort of feels important too. So one way or another, those are the things that are going on out there in the world of sports. It's been really busy, and we are always delighted when you choose to spend this time with us. In the meantime, let's come to the phones at 888-SAY-ESPN. We haven't had a chance to get calls in this week, but let's do it now. Let's find out what's on your mind, which is brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. Devin, are you on the board today?
Nope, you've actually got Connor today.
All right, Connor, who's the first caller today?
We will start with Kara.
All right, Kara, what is on your mind?
Okay, it's Kara. And Greeny, I met you in the basement of the Sears Tower for your book signing like many, many years ago.
Okay.
So great to talk to you again.
You too?
So what's on my mind? And I just have to say, I was listening to the podcast yesterday and what you said about your kids. Like, life is tough enough. Don't make it tougher on yourself. Yeah. I say that to my kids all the time, so I'm right with you. But what's on my mind today? Will Jim Harbaugh live up to expectations like Juwan is exceeding expectations at the University of Michigan? I will be at the Michigan Northwestern game this year, and I say to you, go blue.
Okay, fair enough. You'll be there. I'll be there. You'll be rooting for the wrong team, he said kiddingly. Thank you, Kara, for the phone call. Will Harbaugh live up to expectations? Even I, his biggest fan and supporter, I'm starting to have serious doubts. Like, this stuns me. Of all the things that have happened in sports, he felt like a sure thing, didn't he? Like, when he came with all that success at Stanford and then all that success at San Francisco and then came back to his alma mater, and his first year they won a ton of big games and they've got Ohio State beat. I mean, they got a very questionable / bad call on a fourth down that went a long way towards deciding that game. If you had told me then that he would never even sniff winning the Big Ten all these years later, I would never have believed it. Never. I was sure that he was about to absolutely take over. I mean, certainly give Urban a run for his money and see what happens from there. What do you think, Kembo? Is he going to get it done?
I would not expect him to, based upon the last 20 years of that program, based on the last 50 years of that program, and based on the fact that they've lost so much ground on Ohio State during his time there. They might win some more games, but they're not close to those guys.
It's stunning to me. So I think those are the expectations. The expectations in Ann Arbor, right, wrong, or indifferent, are beat Ohio State. Be the preeminent football program in the Big Ten Conference. Do I think he's going to do that? I will always root for Jim. I've known him for 30 years, and I like him a lot. But I will admit, I have serious doubts, having seen what we have seen. It's Greeny with you. What's on your mind is the topic of the phone calls. Connor, who's next?
Let's go with Big Oz.
All right, Big Oz. What is on your mind today?
Greeny, y'all got to do better, man. Tannenbaum up here talking about, can DJ figure out the riddle of the Washington defense? He's 3-0 against them, and we done beat them 5 in a row. You talking about Fitzpatrick going to be better than Daniel Jones, a healthy Daniel Jones, a healthy Saquon, and all our weapons. And once again, Tannenbaum talking about the Cowboys going to the Super Bowl. Have he been watching football the last 25 years?
You're the best, Big Oz. I love the call. Yeah, look, I'm not buying into the Cowboys either. The Cowboys, again, they remain undefeated in July. It's all those months that end in ember that they seem to struggle. So I'm with you on that. I do think Washington is going to be great. The Giants are the wild card. I don't mean that literally. I mean it figuratively. I don't know what they're going to be. The Giants, I think, have a chance to be good. The little bit of sample that we've seen from the coach, from Joe Judge, I like. That defense, which started out last year looking like it might be the worst in the sport, got much better. By the end of the year, that was a good defense. And they've put pieces around Daniel Jones. The offensive line has to be better. Andrew Thomas has to be better. They bring in Galladay. I completely agree with what Tannenbaum said about Kadarius Toney, the guy they drafted out of Florida. He's a terrific player. Saquon comes back healthy. They've got everything in place. So if you told me right now the New York Giants are going to go 11-6 and win that division, I wouldn't say you were crazy. I think Washington is the best team, but I would not say you were crazy to say the Giants could win double-digit games this year.
Do you think the Giants will finish ahead of the Cowboys in the standings?
Yes.
You think the Giants will finish second?
Yes.
Wow.
Nuno, what do you think? Wow. My Giant fan, Nuno, agree or disagree?
I mean, I agree, but I hate that you're the one saying this.
Fair enough and well played. Devin, you're a Giant fan. Agree or disagree?
I echo everything Nuno just said.
Fair enough.
Nuno's on one today.
Yeah, Nuno's feeling himself
sharp
today, but I'm with it. We've got to come up with two words for Nuno, too, and we will have good ones. All right, Connor, who is next?
Next up, we got Ray.
Ray, what's on your mind?
Greeny, thanks for taking my call. Long time, long time. The question is, are the Phillies, should they be buyers or sellers? I don't know if it's worth making up, try to shoot for a backdoor cover and win the NL East. What are your thoughts?
Phillies, buyers or sellers? I turn to my resident Philadelphia Phillies fan, Mr. Hembo. What's the answer to his question?
I love the Phillies. The Phillies are right now four games clear of the Mets on the losing side, but the Phillies have the easiest remaining schedule in all of baseball. We know that the Mets right now are struggling with injury to DeGrom, to Francisco Lindor. They have a much tougher schedule than the Phillies do the rest of the way. So I really think the division's going to be won here in the next week. Which team can add more impactful pieces over the next week? The answer to that question will determine who wins the division, but I view it as a two-horse race between the Mets and the Phillies. But I like the Phillies an awful lot, especially if they can add a piece or two before the trade deadline.
Give me a piece.
Jose Barrios of the Twins, Byron Buxton of the Twins, Max Scherzer of the Nationals. I think they're going to trade some guys. The Rangers have a few pitchers, and Kyle Gibson and Ian Kennedy. There's a lot of pitchers out there. The Phillies are going to be all in on, I would say, a handful of them. It's just a matter of who's more aggressive, the Phillies or the Mets.
Ray, awesome for call. Thank you very much. Connor, who's next?
Let's go with Celine.
All right, Celine, you're on ESPN Radio. Celine, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, Greeny? Just wondering about what you think about these Olympics and KD being the best player in the world. And I mean, here we are. Looks like he's letting us down.
So, and, Well, let me ask you, how do you feel about it, Celine? Because I've done this a couple of times trying to gauge just how important this is to people. And the sense I generally get is that it isn't that important to people. How important is it to you that the American men win the gold in basketball, Celine?
I mean, I've always been a watcher, you know, every time that time of the year comes. But, you know, I just being a fan of basketball and being an American, I expect us to win every year, every time we participate. So, I mean, it's pretty important to me, and I think it is important to the players, because, I mean, otherwise they would have let the best college players go.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, and look, these guys are taking the time that they usually have off to go over there and represent our country, and I believe they deserve our support. Now, the one story I didn't get to today, I had it in the rundown, but I went long with Tannenbaum, and so I didn't get it in. But apparently, there are reports that the players are grumbling about the offense. So Greg Popovich is trying to run the San Antonio offense, that beautiful offense with all that ball movement and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of these players seem not to like it, at least in part because they just don't have that much time to work together. I have to believe that offense in particular requires a lot of practice. I mean, you got to really know each other probably better than they have time to get to know them in order to be able to run that offense. Whereas if you just ISO these guys, I mean, Kevin Durant should be able to beat you, and Damian Lillard should be able to beat you, and Devin Booker should be able to beat you, and Zach LaVine should be able to beat you, and the list should go on and on. So we play Iran and then the Czech Republic, and assuming we win both of those games, we'll make it into the medal round, and we will remain the prohibitive favorite to win the whole thing. But it doesn't feel like a guarantee, and losing to France is no good.
Can I ask you something? If the United States men find a way, let's say they end up as the silver medalist in the Olympic Games, so they lose the gold medal game, Well, they have won silver or they have lost gold.
Well, there's... We can try and frame it any way you want to, but there's no other way to look at it other than they lost gold.
I agree.
I don't think anyone won't look at it that way. And look, I mean, the U.S. women's gymnastics team is also a favorite. I don't know that they're quite as heavy a favorite as the American men are in basketball. I don't pretend to know the world of gymnastics nearly that well. I think that's the way it'll be positioned, right? I mean, there's no other way. Well, you got all those guys on your team. I don't think there's any other way.
That's
how
they'll view it,
see
I think.
It. That's what's on your mind, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for Better Life. Thank you, as always, for all the outstanding phone calls. And another way you can always get a hold of us is on Twitter. So my Twitter handle is at ESPN Greeny, and we always check the hashtag Greeny. If you tweet and just use hashtag G-R-E-E-N-Y, which, by the way, is the name of the show, we always have an eye on what people are saying there, and we keep an eye on it. And I couldn't help but notice that yesterday, after we did a fine show in which we talked a lot about all different sports stories, we talked about NFL training camps opening, we talked about the American Olympic basketball team, we talked about Ben Simmons getting traded, we talked about the Yankees' disastrous loss of the day before and the upcoming trade deadline. We had great sports conversation. And then at the very end of the show, for like 3 minutes, we have a little syntax discrepancy in which we discuss the pronunciations of the word almond, which is spelled but not pronounced with an L in it. It's almond. And then you, Hembo, or should I say Embo, turn it into a discussion about how one should use words that start with the letter H. So I was taught that if something is historical, you say it was an historical event. In the same way that when a word starts with the H, you would say it was an honest mistake. I would say an historical event. You would say a historical event?
A historical event.
So we got some Twitter reaction on that. Generally speaking, were people agreeing with me or agreeing with you?
Generally speaking, people were agreeing with me. Believe it or not, Vincent Wilbanks tweeted the show and said, Paul, have you seen Greeny wear an hat on backwards? Or is that an highly questionable occurrence?
No. So that is obviously a hat. I understand that a hat. Some because the H is
hard
pronounced in that. It's a hard H. When you're going with a soft H, like honest or...
Not historic.
Or not historic... Wait a minute. Are you telling me I'm wrong about this?
I was wrong about honest mistake. It is an honest mistake.
Of course
you're
it
not,
is.
But it is a historic because you are pronouncing the H.
I want that looked up. I want that looked up right now. We should have done this before the show. Are you telling me that I have that wrong? That when I have been saying an historical event since I'm in grade school. You're telling me that's wrong?
I'm telling you that's wrong. How many takebacks do you need to offer right now?
That's an incalculable number. I've probably said those words in that order on television and radio roughly 6,000 times.
Oh,
I mean, that's just a guess. I've been on the air. We tried to figure out one time recently how many hours I think I've been live on the air between television and radio. I think it's something in the neighborhood of 24,000 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been on the air for 24,000 hours live. All of them live. I do almost nothing taped. So 24,000 live hours, I've probably said once every 4 hours have I said it was an historical event. You know me, I'll make anything into an historical event. I mean, it rubs off on my kids. Anytime anything happens, Stevie will say to me, Dad, greatest of all time? Because, you know, he's my son. What is that, Jenny? Am I getting it wrong? I'm wrong. It's a historical event. There's no alternative pronunciation.
Let me ask you.
That really riles me. I'm upset by this now.
Because is there any other hard H word for which you would use that, or is it just historical?
Well, I've never really thought about it that way. I've always thought it was an historical event.
But it isn't. Are you willing to acknowledge your mistake in your 6,000 takebacks?
Yeah, I think I have no choice. Now, I'm going to do a little research into this after the show to make sure that all of this research that's being done is correct. But if not, then perhaps I am not quite as loquacious a companion as I have long thought myself to be. So that really rubs me the wrong way.
You're just a verbose pal.
That's correct. All right, this has been a fun day. Thanks for the hang. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.